So this morning our meditation is I've kind of entitled it, Meet Me at the Manger. And we want to meet at the manger with the shepherds. The Magi probably didn't come to the manger. They probably came to the house a bit later on. But people came to that manger, what did they see? They saw the light of the world, the one that was going to give hope, the one that was going to meet the deepest needs of their heart. And when we, my voice isn't very good today, but when we meet at the manger, who do we meet? We meet other people, but we meet the one that I think can meet the deepest needs of the human heart. And sometimes Christmas has filled with a lot of stuff. There's gifts exchange, finding the right gifts, and all the celebrations and gatherings and work celebrations and different things. And so it gets busy. And this morning we just want to kind of slow it down a little bit and again reflect on the one who meets the deepest needs of our hearts, the need to be forgiven, the need to be connected to God, and I trust that that will happen this morning. And so Marion has put together a PowerPoint video kind of presentation from Trisha Yearwood's song, Walk Through Bethlehem, Take a Walk Through Bethlehem. And so just we'll watch the video, and just a couple phrases that have spoken to me as I've listened to the song a number of times. One would be, every heart longs for more than tinsel. And Christmas isn't about the tinsel, it's not about the decorations, it's about the one that meets the deepest needs of our heart. So listen to the song and look at the pictures and let God speak to you through them.
City's decorated up for Christmas. All the stores are open late tonight. People hurry through the frozen streets. I'll take a walk. Every child has a thousand wishes. Every window has a thousand lights. Every soul has a need for peace. I'll take a walk. Still outshines the night. You can find it if you close your eyes. See the light, take a walk through Bethlehem. Come and kneel before the Lamb. Good news for every man. Not another TV special. Merchants counting down the shopping days. But something's missing underneath the tree. I take a walk. 'Cause every heart longs for more than tinsel. Something more than just a holiday. Come and celebrate the baby king. Let's take a walk. Travel anywhere. Faith and hope and love will bring you there. Bring you there. Take a walk through Bethlehem. Come and kneel before the Lamb. Good news for
take a walk through Bethlehem and kneel before the Lamb. Just a couple phrases from the song that have been speaking to me over this last week. Every soul has a need for peace. Every soul has a need for peace. We live in a world of chaos and turmoil. We have inner turmoil, but every soul has a need for peace. Then there's the phrase, there's a star that outshines the night. The Apostle John, thinking of Christ coming, in John, 1 John chapter 2, he says, "The darkness is past, and the true light now shines." And when you think of the significance of that verse, that the darkness is past, and the true light now shines, that the light that gives eternal light, eternal life, has come into the world. And no matter how dark your night might be today, there is a light, a star that outshines the night. Good news for every man, that it's for every person. It's not just for a select few. It's for everyone who will trust, who will believe. And then just some of the phrases, there's something missing under the tree. And I'm assuming that probably many of you that have just opened gifts either last night and this morning, and I trust that you got the gifts that you wanted. But probably they left you, some of you, maybe somewhat hollow. Maybe it wasn't exactly what you had anticipated. Maybe you had thought for something else and you got whatever. There's something missing under the tree. The real meaning of Christmas is not found under a Christmas tree. It's not found in a gift that you unwrap. The thing that's missing is Jesus and what he has done. And the phrase that I used before, every heart longs for more than tinsel. And so that's kind of where I want to go this morning, just about meeting the one who meets the deepest needs of our heart. And so I'm going to read Luke chapter 2. I know Peter read it last night at our Christmas Eve service. I know some of you were there and you heard it, but I think it's just fitting for us to read again the birth of Christ and the scriptural events that happened around that, and then I'll just pick out some thoughts from there this morning. Luke 2, verse 1. "Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region there were some shepherds, staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased.' When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, 'Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this Christ. And all who heard it wondered at the things which they were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them." In the Gospel of John, we have the account of Jesus. It says that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That God's message wrapped himself in flesh, in human form, and dwelt and lived where you and I live. He lived in this world. He came and visited us. And when the Gospel of John unfolds, it says that Jesus manifested his glory and his disciples believed in him. That's the message of the Gospel of John, that Jesus is the Son of God and he manifested and revealed his glory, and his disciples trusted and believed in him. But when we look at the manger, we get a bit of a different picture. When we look at the manger, when we meet at the manger and see this child, we see vulnerability, we see frailty, we see weakness, we see dependence, we see trust. And so when we come to the manger, sometimes it's hard. We struggle with the glory side of Jesus, and we see the frailty and human side, and we need to see both. In Revelation, we see the glory side of Jesus. In Revelation 1 verses 5 and 6, it says, it talks about from Jesus, the faithful witness. So he says Jesus is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the first one raised from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. And God made him, made us to be a kingdom and priest to his God and Father. To him be glory and the dominion forever and ever. We see Jesus as the ruler of the kings of the earth. We see that all of those. And so we need to see that when we come to the manger. But today we want to look at more the human side, the frailty side of Jesus. And when we look at the manger, we look at the whole idea of rejection, that there was no room in the inn. Now, I don't know what that whole situation was. Was there a special inn in town that because of the census it was full, and the innkeeper said, you know what, we're booked up solid, we don't have room. I'm sure that if there really was an innkeeper that turned Mary and Joseph away that night, if he could rethink that or have a redo or replay on the whole thing, he would have done things very, very different. But I think it was all a message of the rejection that would be there, that Jesus came to his own. The Gospel of John says he came to his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. So it's important for us to see the right thing and open our hearts. And a phrase that's been speaking to me is from Joy to the World is, let every heart prepare him room. And so when we think of the Christmas account and the manger scene, it was really about in some ways, a town that had no room for Jesus. They didn't have the space. They hadn't made space for him. And so this Christmas, I want to challenge us to make space, to give room for him to worship and to praise his name. So in the Gospel of John, we meet the one who manifests his glory, but at the manger, we meet vulnerability, we meet frailty, weakness, and dependence. It amazes me that Jesus would come and make himself so dependent on Mary and Joseph, and so vulnerable. Like, it was only this close, this far away, that Herod would have killed him. I mean, God the Father was watching over the whole situation, and Jesus made himself dependent. And so, what do we see? We see God in human form. We see a Savior who will save us from our sins. We see one who was tempted in every way like we are, yet without sin, the Bible says. We see the one who can understand our temptations. We see one who let go of the glories of heaven and gave himself to the purpose of God, even the death on the cross. And so there's so many of those messages that are there as we look at the manger and what that really started in the process of God's saving work. So we meet frailty, we meet weakness, we meet vulnerability, but we also meet power and glory. We meet the one who brings heaven to its feet in celebration. When the angel came to those shepherds on that field as they were taking care of their sheep, he says, I bring you good news of great joy. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. And as soon as he had said those words, it's like heaven was waiting for that announcement, and the angels of heaven just burst out of heaven in praise and adoration as they came. And so really, the message of Christ brings angels to their feet in celebration. The scripture says that about the prophecies of Christ, that these were things that the angels longed to look into. They couldn't understand how these prophecies were going to bring about God's saving grace and great savings plan, but angels longed to look into what was going on. And so as they're watching and hear the conversation going on about Jesus leaving heaven and being born in the and laid in a manger, the angels are marveling at what this great plan is. And even when each of us comes to Christ, when we put our faith and trust in him, the Bible says the angels rejoice in heaven over one sinner who repents. And so this is the one who brings heaven, all of heaven's angels, to a place of rejoicing and being thrilled at what the good about the goodness of God and what he has done. So when we come to the manger, we meet the one who brings heaven to its feet in celebration and great joy. We meet the one who transforms the routines of life. Sometimes life gets pretty routine. We get up at a certain time every morning. We eat the same thing for breakfast every morning. We go to the same job every morning. We go to the same school every morning. Whatever your routine looks like, I enjoy routine. I like routine, but sometimes routine gets kind of dull and boring. And I think of that night in Bethlehem. There were a lot of people going through the routines. The shepherds were doing what they always did. The magi probably, whether they saw the star the night Jesus was born or not, whatever, it doesn't matter. As they're doing what they do, they're studying the stars, they're studying the heavens, they're studying the movement of stars, and all of a sudden there's this sign in the heavens that the King of the Jews has been born, and they follow that star. Their routine got all messed up. Their routine got changed because of the birth of this child. The shepherds were probably never the same. They probably never went back to those fields in the same way and say, remember that night that happened? The angel came, and I wonder if he could come again sometime. All those kinds of questions, but their routine was changed. And sometimes we have these routines, and sometimes we need Jesus to step into the routine and the regular routine of our lives. And I think that's what Christmas celebrations are about. It's about acknowledging the space that he should have in our lives. That, yeah, we go through the routines, but it's not just about putting our life on some kind of mechanical thing and just going forward with it. It's about the one who steps into the routines of our lives and wants to sometimes upset those routines, and sometimes he wants to be there among, in the midst of those routines. So on the surface of things, in Bethlehem that night, the shepherds were caring for their sheep just like they were always doing. The Romans were intent on registering everyone for the decree ordered by Caesar Augustus. So they're doing their census stuff. They're doing the administration of the day. They're taking care of all that, making sure that everyone gets registered. The merchants of the city are probably intent on cashing in on all the visitors the census had brought to Bethlehem. The innkeeper was busy trying to find enough rooms for everyone and cash in on what was going on. The synagogues were probably filled with people that were looking at the prophets Micah and Isaiah and looking at the messianic promises that were there. People are going about their everyday routines of winnowing grain, making bread, and drawing water from the neighborhood well. But it's in the midst of the routines of life that Jesus steps into the world and transforms lives and transforms the routine. And so this morning, I want to encourage you, in whatever routine you have, whatever Christmas traditions you have, whatever your regular work life or school life looks like, just invite Jesus into that. I think he can transform that. He can make the difference. And so we want to meet the one that transforms the routines of our lives, that brings heaven to its feet in celebration. But we want to meet the one who understands the deepest longings of our hearts. The song said, every heart longs for more than tinsel. Every soul has a need for peace. We long for meaning and purpose when life just seems stuck in its routine. The shepherds were stuck in their night shift, taking care of the sheep on a cold night. But Jesus steps into that situation, and God announces the message that he has for them, a message that would transform their lives, a message of great joy, which would be for all people. So there's this longing that people in those days probably would have had, the longing of our hearts. There's a longing, I think, in my heart to encounter God in a way that transforms my life into great joy. I would say, yeah, my life is not always full of great joy, and yet the message of Christ is a message of great joy for all people. For Herod, there was a troubled heart. Herod was grasping for power. Herod was killing people that would in any way somehow usurp or have potential to usurp his throne. And so his heart was longing about, it was about control. And yet Jesus knew that, and Jesus is called the ruler of the kings of the earth. Herod never yielded himself to the purpose of God, but there was a need in his heart, a need really to submit and to surrender. There was probably a longing to hear from God in the city of Bethlehem. God had been silent for 400 years. How many times do we come to church Sunday after Sunday, week by week, and there's a longing. There's a longing to connect to God. There's a longing to encounter him. There's a longing to hear from him. In the time of Christ, God had been silent for 400 years. Now, God's silence doesn't mean that he's not speaking or that he's not wanting to speak to our hearts, but I wonder how many times we long for that. We long for God to speak, God to show up, God to do something real and meaningful in my heart, your heart, in our lives together. And when we meet at the manger, I think we meet the one who meets the deepest needs of our hearts. One of my favorite accounts in Scripture is the story of Nathanael. When Jesus meets Nathanael, and Jesus looks at Nathanael and he says to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile, there's no deceit." And that's his first encounter with Nathanael. And Nathanael's like, "How do you know me? Who are you? What's this all about?" And Jesus says, "While you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Now, I like to picture, and I'm extrapolating, but here, my picture of what happened here is Nathanael's having his devotions. He's having his time. He's under the fig tree. He's drawn away from the hustle and bustle of things. He's alone with God, and he's saying, "God, I need to meet you. I need to, I hear the prophecies of the Messiah. I read these in Scripture. I don't understand what they look like. God, I need you to be real in my life. I want to hear from you. I want meaning and purpose. I want my life to go somewhere. I want my life to count for something." And all of a sudden, Jesus steps into his life and he says, "An Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile." And he follows Jesus. And his life probably took on all of those things. Now, all of a sudden, he was one of the 12 disciples of Jesus, a life that was transformed with meaning and purpose. And Jesus already knew what was in his heart. He saw those times. So I just want to, out of this, remind you that in those times when you're before God under your fig tree, whatever that looks like, and you're pouring out your heart to God like I think Nathanael was doing, God is the one who hears those prayers. God is the one who is watching, and he knows that longing of the heart. And so Jesus speaks right into Nathanael's life, and he says, "While you were under that fig tree, I saw you. I heard every word that was prayed. I know exactly what's going on in your heart." And so whatever the longing of your heart is this morning, a longing to hear the voice of Christ in a fresh way, a longing for meaning and purpose for the trials and the things that you're going through, Jesus is the light of the world, the one who gives meaning and purpose to our lives. So what are the longings of your heart this Christmas? I mentioned a few of them. There's just some general longings of the heart, I think, that we all have. And I just want to remind us this morning that Jesus is the one who meets those needs. First of all, there's the need to know that we are loved and accepted by God. That is probably the biggest question that if we, in our moments of silence, that we would ask is, does God really love me? Yes, God loves the world, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, but does he really love me? Am I really accepted by God? And the message of Christmas is that God would send his Son as a baby born and laid in a manger and then would give himself on the cross. God demonstrates his love to us that while we were yet sinners, while we were yet unworthy, Christ died for us. Does God love us? Has God accepted us? In Christ, yes. And so as you receive the gift this Christmas, the gift of a Savior, the gift that God has given to us and packaged in flesh, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The need to be loved, the need to be accepted are met in Jesus Christ. The need to be forgiven and pardoned. We all have messed up our lives. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We need to know that our sins are forgiven. One of the most powerful statements in Scripture is the statement of the crippled man, the paralyzed man that was let down through the roof. And Jesus takes one look at him, and he's laid down before Jesus. Jesus looks at him and he says, "My son, be of good courage. Your sins are forgiven you." Powerful, powerful words. And those words led to a paralyzed man standing up and walking again. And I want to ask you today, how many of you are being paralyzed by sin that is holding you back? God today wants to forgive. In Jesus, he has made a way that you can start afresh. The Bible talks about forgetting those things that are behind and looking forward to those things that are ahead. And the only reason we can do that is because we can find forgiveness in Jesus. Whatever your past may be, whatever the things that is weighing your heart down in guilt, the blood of Jesus can cleanse. The blood of Jesus can wipe that slate clean, that you can walk away from here this morning with a clean slate before God. This is the great need of the heart, the need for our sins to be forgiven, and that the real paralysis of our hearts can be wiped away, and we can walk out of here like the man that was paralyzed when Jesus said, "My son, be of good courage. Your sins are forgiven you." And maybe there's someone here that needs to hear God speaking those words over your heart. Let me speak them again. "My son, my daughter, be of good courage. Your sins are forgiven you." They are forgiven in Jesus. When you accept Jesus and trust him with your life, you repent before God and trust him for what he has done for you on the cross. We need to experience the peace of God's presence in the difficulties of life. A couple Sundays ago, I preached on Jesus being Emmanuel. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. We have one of the needs of our heart is to know God is with me, that God is somehow directing my life, that God is with me in those routines. He is with me in those challenges that I'm facing, whatever the news I got from the doctor, whatever the news I got from work, whatever that might be, whatever the challenges are in family life. We need to experience the peace of God's presence in the difficulties of life. Every soul has a need for peace, is what the song said. And Jesus is the one who is the Prince of Peace, who is in his presence we find that peace, peace with God and peace in our own soul. We need to know that when we're talking about the longings of our hearts, we need to know that God has a plan for my life, that my life has a purpose. One of the most difficult challenges is sometimes thinking, does my life really mean anything? Is it really going anywhere? And yet Jesus is the one, as we put our trust and faith in him, that can take our lives and lead us to a place of purpose. Nathanael was longing for that purpose, I believe, and he met Jesus, and God gave him that purpose and fulfillment. That need that he had in his heart was met in Jesus Christ. Finally, we need to know that we have eternal life. The greatest need of our heart, I think, is the need to know that this life is not all there is. And when we look at life through the lens of eternity and millions of years of eternity, then the trials and the struggles of this life take on a whole different perspective. Then we can see that God has a plan in all of this, but really it's not about this short moment of time that we live in, whether that's 100 years or whatever less it is than that. But when we look at life through the lens of eternity, it looks very, very different. And the longing that we have in our hearts, the need that we have in our hearts, is the need to know that we have eternal life. And the Apostle John says, "By this we know that we have eternal life, when we trust in Jesus Christ, when we believe in him." So in wrapping this all up today, I just want to encourage us, when we meet at the manger, when we come, we see a little child, we see frailty. But we need to see that. We need to see that vulnerability of Jesus in trusting his Father, his Heavenly Father, to work out the details and to protect him in a very hostile environment, in a hostile world. And he trusted. He gave us that example of trust. But I think there's much more. He meets the deepest longings of our hearts. And ultimately, we need to see him in all his glory, that one day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So this morning, I don't know where you're at. I don't know where the longings of your heart are at. But I believe as we meet at the manger, as we meet this Jesus that was laid in a manger, wrapped in cloths, was poor and came in that vulnerable state, understands you and I, and he wants to give us the greatest gift, the gift of himself. Maybe there's someone here this morning that has never opened their heart and received Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you today. It's very simple. It's only about turning away from sin, and it's turning to Jesus. He can forgive, he can cleanse, he can make new life, and he can give new purpose and direction to your life. And I would encourage you, if you have not done that this morning, to open your heart and just in your own words, open your heart to Jesus. Let every heart prepare him room. That's the words of Joy to the World. Let our hearts prepare him room, and in that, he can meet the deepest longings of our hearts. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for Christmas. We thank you for the celebrations. We thank you for the gift exchanges. We thank you for the banquets, for the different church celebration services that we can have. But Lord, we realize that even in the midst of all of that, that leaves a hollow feeling sometimes. And Lord, today we've come to your house. We've come to the Word of God. We've come to Scripture. And Lord, we've read the message of the angels. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. Lord, news that would transform our lives, news that would release us from our sins and our past, news that would propel us forward into a future of hope and brightness and light. Father, we ask that as we open our hearts to the gift of Jesus and to the presence of Jesus, God, that you would transform the routines of our lives. Lord, the regular things that we do once Christmas celebrations are over and we get into the new year and to all the things there. God, I pray that you would transform our lives in a powerful way. Lord, that we would experience and recognize your presence with us, that you are Emmanuel, God, with us. We would recognize Jesus, the Savior, the one who saves us from our sins, but that we would recognize you as the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the ruler of the kings of the earth, your word says. So God, today we thank you for Christmas morning, and thank you, God, for families that will be together. Thank you, Lord, for reflective time, whether that's in personal devotions or as families. We pray, Jesus, that you would show up and that you would reveal yourself in mighty ways, like you did to the shepherds, like you did to the magi, the wise men, like you did, Lord, at that first Christmas. And we trust you, God, to work in our hearts the things that are pleasing in your sight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.